Well, good morning, everyone. Obviously, we're not in Houston. I'm not a hologram up here talking. But we did decide, of course, not to go. We talked to our son earlier in the week, and we're going to reschedule for October when we go out to see them. They are fine. Our family, our son and daughter-in-law and grandson are fine. They're on the northwest side of town, and although they got all the rain, they didn't get the flooding that a lot of Houston has. But we need to keep all those folks in our prayers as they take care of themselves and the rescuers come in and help out. And there's still a lot of cleanup that needs to be done, so keep them in your prayers. But having returned from the dairy farm a few weeks ago, I came across this story I thought was pretty amusing. There's an old dairy farmer who thought it was time to buy a new pickup truck for the farm, and he looked through some advertisements and went to the dealer to pick out his truck and began to write a check to the salesman. And the salesman says, wait. He says, what are you doing? The farmer says, well, this is what the ad said the truck was selling for. And the salesman said, well, that's the basic price. Here's the list of options that come on the truck, and this is going to be the price. And reluctantly, the farmer made out his check and gave it to the salesman and drove off in his new truck. Well, a few weeks later, the car salesman's son was in a 4-H project and needed a cow. And so he remembered the farmer. Yeah, you know where this is going. He remembered the farmer and called the farmer up and said, my son is in a 4-H project. We'd like to buy a cow if you got any. He says, yeah, I got several. They're $500 each. He says, fine, we'll be right over. And so the car salesman and his son picked out the cow that they wanted, and they began to write out a check for $500, and the farmer says, wait. He goes, what? He says, that's just the basics. He says, the two-tone exterior, that's $50 extra. An extra stomach, that's $80. Straw recycle compartment, that's $120. Leather upholstery, that's $150. Automatic rear fly swatter, that's $50. Dual horns, that's $50. And an all-natural exhaust system, that's $200. That brings the total to $1,200. Okay, that's it. No matter what we purchase, vehicles or cows, we need to know what the bottom line is, of course. And unfortunately, it's like that in our faith sometimes. We only settle for what we think are the basics in our faith. Our gospel reading today picks up from where we left off last week. Jesus had taken his disciples to the outer boundaries of Caesarea Philippi. It was there where Peter stepped out in faith, and from the depths of his heart, he proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. And from that act of faith, Jesus brought up some of the basics of our faith. He spoke of the keys of the kingdom, and Jesus is the key, and our faith is grounded on him. He is the very foundation of our faith. And as a result of this transformation that takes place, Paul reminds from our reading last week how our bodies are presented as a temple. We are a holy and pleasing to God where he resides. We also spoke of the culture that we live in, we need to be in constant recognition of that. The things that constantly try to pull us away from our life in Christ. Culture would tell us that the Christian faith is just another way without substance or life. But Paul echoes Jesus in that our faith is alive. And he lists the gifts given to us to carry out Christ's call in our lives. So in summary from last week, we are called to be a kingdom right here on earth. We reflect Jesus to others in the world. And we express Christ in our lives. We are ambassadors of Jesus in the world around us. Now, in our reading today, Jesus is now explaining how this is going to happen. What has to take place in this process? And it's going to involve some serious actions by Jesus and a serious response from us. We read that Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed. And on the third day, be raised to life. Now, these are hard words to be listening to, but with the glorious outcome, suffering and death. You see, Jesus knows there's a much bigger battle going on. And that battle involves saving the human race. That battle involves opening a door for his followers to enter into this wonderful relationship that we can have. That battle involves God conquering sin and is in the world. And, excuse me, by his only son. It is a battle that will bring victory over the things that pull us away from Christ. So Jesus is telling his disciples that I have to go and do this. But look what happens. Peter once again steps up. You got to love the zeal of Peter. I mean, he was just full of zeal, wanting to just go out there and do something. And his head might be a little inflated after Jesus recognized his faith in acknowledging who he was. So Peter steps forward with a resounding no. No, Lord, this isn't going to happen. And here's the difference. Peter's acknowledgement of Christ before came from the heart of God. His rebuke came from his head. It was raw emotion. And it was also a temptation to Jesus. And just that quick, Jesus turns and rebukes Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. Whoa. What a blow to Peter's ego. He must have been feeling about this tall. You see, Jesus knows what he has to do. And now, just like the temptation he received in the desert from Satan, comes this temptation. You don't have to die. And Peter is saying, we're not going to let that happen. And Jesus is telling them, this has to happen. If you want to have what I've been telling you all this time, it's got to happen this way. So Peter is having this real learning experience and knowing the difference between the will of God and moving off in his own will. You see, Peter was probably in a conquering Messiah mode still. That is, yes, you are the Christ, the Messiah, but now the Messiah is going to lead us into a battle to conquer the world. Yes, Peter, but not the way you think. Jesus then gives them the one option that will really change their lives. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny self, bear a cross, and follow. This is a big order Jesus is giving, especially when it comes to something like self-denial or dying to self, as it's sometimes translated. Because the battle Jesus came for to conquer is a battle that rages in the human heart. The disciples had to be thinking, what any of us would be thinking, how do I deny myself? I'm right here. What is there about me that I need to die to or deny? Well, if we really examine ourselves, we can be pretty selfish people at times. In the flesh, we are pretty much guided by a me attitude. One of the first principles of group dynamics in raising a child is to get them to understand the concept of sharing, that getting their minds off of just me mindset. We do that in church sometimes. This is my church. There was a rector I knew in the south end of the diocese many years ago, and he came in to start his new ministry with this parish, and some of the people came to him after he was installed and said, okay, this is our church. This is how you're going to do things. Attitudes like that just goes to the deepest core of our being and the sinful nature. It really goes back to what our reading from Romans was last week. It's not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the Spirit of God. Paul makes it clearer in Galatians when he speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, Paul says, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It stands to reason that if the Holy Spirit brings joy to us, that is what is crucified is the attitude of anger and unrest. If anger is a constant issue in your life, it will rob you of the joy that God wants you to have. On our own, we will try to fill that attitude with things that we think will make us happy until we get tired of that and we go to something else that makes us happy. If God brings peace in our being, it stands to reason that bitterness and unrest has to be crucified with Christ. But if we allow bitterness and control our lives, it soon breeds hatred and mistrust and robs people of peace. And we could go on. Patience, impatience, kindness, mean-spirited, goodness, evil-spirited, faithfulness, mistrust or unfaithful, gentleness, harshness, self-control, self-gratification, or excessive behavior. The question here is, what kind of fruit are we bearing in our lives? Growing up in Central Florida years ago, you could take a country drive and there would be miles and miles of citrus groves. Out of season, to the novice, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between an orange tree or a grapefruit tree or even a lemon tree. But in season, it was easy to see and acknowledge because the fruit can be seen. God created the human race for a reason. But what truly makes us different is the fruit that we bear. That is a reflection of who we are. So when Jesus says we must deny ourselves, he is saying we put off the fruit of this world, the selfish fruit, and clothe ourselves with the holiness of who he is. When we accept Christ into our lives, a change does take place. There is an overwhelming peace that comes in that release. You see, growing up in the Lord is a process that involves choices that we make along the way. And a part of that choice is to pick up our cross. Now, what do we mean by that? Jesus made a choice to do the Father's will. He knew that for him to take our sins upon himself would require a sacrifice that only he could give as the Son of God. He would take the penalty of death upon himself and conquer death for all. There's no way that we can do that. Our cross is not the same cross as Jesus, but it is some of it is reflected on us. We grossly misuse this term when we define an illness that we are experiencing. I don't know how many times I've spoken to someone who is sick and they might say that this is just the cross I have to bear. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying, you have a choice. You can choose the world's way. And by world, I mean the culture that is contrary to God's will. Or we can live for Christ and allow him to transform those areas of our lives that we hold on to, and it robs us of the joy that we can have in Christ. Allowing the Holy Spirit to come alive. Allowing God's word to have meaning and wholeness in our lives. I've shared before how Thomas Jefferson, one of my favorite presidents to study in history, who took a razor blade and cut out parts of the Bible that he didn't like. I actually saw the Bible that he had, and it was on display in Monticello in his home in Virginia. And I think in a sense, that's what sometimes we want to do without a razor. We mentally cut out parts that we don't like. That's too hard. I want to live my life this way, so I cut this out. And you have a choice to do that. I think many know deep within, they want to walk with Christ, but they don't want to pay the price. They either want to hold on to the sin or the lifestyle or something that is contrary to Scripture, and they don't want to suffer, hiding who they are in Christ. Because suffering may happen, and most likely will happen at times. And by suffering, I mean the world's view that is culture will hate you in many cases. Good and evil don't mix. When you're walking with Christ, there will be times when you may be mocked, ridiculed, and made fun of for who you are in Christ. And that doesn't feel very well. I don't know how many times I've had to say no to a direction that a friend or others wanted me to go in. Because I knew in my heart that this was not the way of Christ. I wasn't mean or unfriendly to others, but I had a decision to make. But it did open a lot of doors for sharing when they asked, well, why? And a lot of times that was very fruitful. So there is suffering that comes our way from time to time. In some parts of the world, suffering does involve death. People are dying for their faith in some parts of the world, who are being cast out of the community that they live in because they love Christ. Paul reminded the Romans in our reading today, bless those who persecute you, repay no evil with evil. Do you see the difference from the worldly heart and the heart transformed by the Spirit of God? Just knowing that Christ is alive in you and walking with you and that he suffered so much more than most of us would ever know for us. The question that Jesus is asking is this: is Jesus the center of all that we are? Are we willing to die to the world's ways and walk in the way of Christ? Many people have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and choose to hang on to the old stuff in their lives. Many people have accepted Christ but choose to walk in the world. And that makes life really hard at times. But when Jesus becomes the center of all that we are, only then will we experience true peace in our daily walk with him. It's a process of growth that we all go through and will continue to go through until we go home to be with him or he comes first, whichever happens first. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. I read a description of what it meant to follow Jesus. It goes like this: it does not mean we follow at a distance. It doesn't mean we look for the tracks or the path that he took like we were lost and somehow are trying to find which way he went. No, it means that we are right there with him. Jesus is saying, stay close to me. You see, walking with Jesus is a glorious privilege given to us who call on his name. And it's a wonderful journey. But it does require us to make a choice to pick up our cross and follow him, a choice to make Christ the center of who we are. You know, when you choose to walk with Christ, you get the total package. And the great thing is, you don't have to pay extra for it. You get all the options, all the things that he has for you. It was paid for on the cross that he was on. Yes, we have to deny ourselves. That is the very way of the world. Yes, we have to pick up our cross. That is, we will be ridiculed at times and suffer in our walk with him. But the reward is so much greater than we could ever imagine. Always remember, Christ died for you. Allow yourself to die to him. That is turning your whole life, all of you, over to him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit, that you came to us, that you died for us, you took our sins upon that cross. You opened the door for us, Lord God, to enter into this way of life that you have called us to walk. So, Father, we ask as we pick up our cross and follow you, as we die to ourselves and cleanse ourselves of those things that would hinder our walk with you, Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your presence, fill us with your Spirit. Allow us to walk that way that you have called us, Lord God. You have called each person here into a special place with you, to be a special ambassador wherever they are for you, Lord God. So I ask your anointing of your Spirit to be on this congregation, that you would surround us with your protection, surround us with your guidance, give us the encouragement that we need, Lord God, by your Spirit to carry out your will in a world that is hurting, in a world that is searching. And we thank you, Father, and we give you the praise, we give you the honor for all that you want to do in and through each of us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.